From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
The 0-2 pitch. Struck it out swinging. The ball game is over, and the Giants have won the National League Western Division title for the first time in 7 years.
The San Francisco Giants have made it to the playoffs, and we'll preview the upcoming Best of Five series for you in the hour ahead until about 10:45 or so, and we'll be joined by incumbent Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer, who is seeking her fourth term in the upcoming November 2nd election. Forum is ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this hour of the Forum program. On Sunday, the San Francisco Giants beat the San Diego Padres 3-0 before a sold-out 42,000 crowd at AT&T Park in San Francisco, clinching the division title in the National League. They now face the Atlanta Braves beginning tomorrow in the best of five playoff. And in this Forum hour, we're going to talk baseball and the home team's prospects for summer game glory. I should mention that about at 45 after the hour, we'll talk to Senator Barbara Boxer. But in the meantime, it's just Giants fever burgeoning here and burning bright. Let me tell you who's joining us for the hour. We have with phone by this morning, Larry Baer, President and Chief Operating Officer of the San Francisco Giants. And I ought to add, with some congratulations, now a member of the board here at KQED. Good morning, Larry.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. And how are you? Jubilant, I would think.
We're doing well. We're trying to, you know, it's good for the players, but it's a little painful for us, this three-day wait for game one. I think it's good for the players. They get a little bit rested up. But, boy, the stomach lining around here is after going to 162 games and winning on the 162nd game, there's a lot of anticipation.
Well, there are some Rolaids and things like that that perhaps you can use to relieve that stomach lining problem, but I can understand the anticipation and the anxiety. You can spend some time with us this morning, I understand, huh?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good for as long as you want.
Great, because let me tell you who else we have with us. Dan Faust, whom you know, author, freelance writer, author of the new book, Giants Past and Present, beautiful book. And Dan, good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Michael.
And Ann Killian's here with us, too, who's contributing writer for Sports Illustrated, Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, reported from the Beijing Olympics, and is here with us to talk about the Giants Day. Hi, Ann.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Dan.
Glad to have you all here. And, Larry, let's talk about what this means to the Giants, because it's the first time in postseason in 7 years. It struck me that's a biblical number, you know. And it's been a long time coming. And as you suggested before, talking about your stomach, which I didn't realize you'd be speaking of here on the air this morning, there's been some real torture involved, hasn't there?
Yeah, that line was coined as well. You know, when you have a pitching intensive team, I think you get into a situation where you get close games, you get low scoring games, and you get games that are grind them out games. And I think we have 52 one-run games this season, and that's what? That's a third of your season. So that's a lot. And just a tremendous job by Bruce Bochy, manager of the coaches, because a lot of these games come down to decisions in the bullpen and decisions on pinch hitting and all of that. And they did a great job. Obviously, the players did a great job. And our general manager, you know, there were a lot of faces that were not around in spring training that are making valuable contributions right now.
When you won the game on Sunday, was that spontaneous, all that jogging around and high-fiving, or was it planned, thought out before?
I have to say, Michael, it was spontaneous from the standpoint of the players recognized what the fans meant to them this year. The fans, the last three games, certain players, I think Cody Ross and others, were saying that they've never seen a baseball park, as fired up as our ballpark was in those games. And I think that it's a cliche, but you have, if there's a 12th man in or a 10th man in baseball, 12th man in football, the 10th man in baseball can be the fans, and they made a big difference over the weekend, on Sunday at least, and throughout the year over 3 million fans went through the ballpark gates and in a tough economy. So I think there was recognition. It was a spontaneous recognition by the players, although it's been well embedded through the year that the fans have been behind them at really high levels and really lots of passion and much appreciated.
Now, this team also seems to have, and I realize, you're coming from the position of management, but maybe I can get you to comment on this, a kind of unusual camaraderie and spirit and almost a fraternal feeling that seems to be, head and shoulders above a lot of the other teams, frankly.
Well, we feel blessed that the chemical reaction, and this is so much part of what Brian Sabian is the general manager and Bruce Bochy is the manager and coaches to be able to do, the chemical reaction in this clubhouse has been really good. It's the old adage is long season, small clubhouse, and clubhouses that don't get along, does it transfer into wins and losses? Well, it probably does, only because you're in a situation where you've got to you got to get out there every day, and you're always going to, at some point, go out there less than 100% physically because it's such a grind. And you've got to have players that are willing to do it. You've got to have players that are willing to pick up guys that are slumping. You got to have players that are willing to take the ball in a bullpen situation when their arm is less than 100%. And there's a recognition, I think, across the board in that clubhouse that guys are going the extra mile for the team. And that is huge. And that is, I think, been a big contributor to this team. And so chemistry is an intangible. You can't measure it. You can't say it meant 2 wins or 10 wins, but it was important. We know that.
Larry Baer with us by phone this morning, President Chief Operating Officer of the San Francisco Giants, and Killian's contributor writer for Sports Illustrated, has obviously been following the Giants and writing about the Giants. And let's just talk about the prospects in the games that are coming up beginning tomorrow. Some injuries on the Braves have certainly hurt them. They haven't had a great record in September from that perspective. A stronger team is not as strong as it could have been, but how do prospects look for you?
Well, I think things kind of broke the right way for the Giants. They have home field advantage by winning the division. They face a team that's kind of banged up in the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta, like the Giants, hasn't been there for a while. You know, they were one of the great teams in the 90s, and they've been kind of struggling a little bit lately. They've got a sentimental thing going because their old manager, Bobby Cox, is retiring when the season is done, whenever that might be. So
and they want to send him out with victory.
Well, sure. You know, at least that's the storyline. So there's a little bit of sentiment going for Atlanta, but I think most people are saying that the Giants, with their pitching staff and a short series, probably have the edge. I would comment on what you said about the camaraderie on this team. It's a real different feeling than this team was 7 years ago. And I got to say, I wince a little bit when Larry used the term chemical reaction, because when you talked about chemicals with the old Giants, it tended to be It was a kind of a bad thing. There was a steroid cloud. There was a lot of controversy over the team and the organization in recent years. This team and the way people feel about it has kind of really turned the page on all of that. And there's a kind of a vibe and a coolness that we haven't seen around this team for a while. A lot of people are comparing it to the 1987 team, which was another really lovable kind of team.
It's almost as if we've left what could be called the Bonds era behind and started a whole new chapter.
Well, it took a really long time. I mean, as Larry would attest to, I mean, it was a hard climb back after those years. And they, you know, the organization made a decision to build the team around pitching, and they have fabulous young pitching. And then they've also just gotten some great characters. And I got to say, in this economy, you know, when people are losing their jobs or being told by employers that, you know, they're not worthy anymore, to have guys who were cut by their previous teams, like Pat Burrell, or put on waivers or on the scrap heap, it's the kind of team people can embrace because they are kind of a hard knock team.
Giants do have a great pitching rotation, but Atlanta's not really shabby on that score either. In fact, Derek Lowe and Tim Hudson have a 3-0 record against the Giants this season, and under 2 ERA.
And the other thing they have that the Giants don't have is playoff experience. I mean, Derek Lowe was part of that great Red Sox team in 2004, as everyone could remember. And Tim Hudson, we saw him right here with the Oakland A's in the playoffs. So they do have a very, very good rotation. And the Giants, they've been hard against the Giants. The Giants do not have a good record against them this year. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a sweep on either side. I think it could be, you know, a good matchup.
A lot of cardiac
Oh, yeah, more torture is in the offing, believe me.
No doubt. Dan Fossey, let's bring you into the discussion. Again, Dan Fossey, author of the new book, Giants Past and Present. How's this rotation going to work out?
Well, that's I think it's lined up great for the Giants in that they've got their ace, Tim Lincecum, pitching in Game 1, and Matt Cain, who's been pretty solid for them, is going to pitch Game 2. And then Jonathan Sanchez, who won the clincher on Sunday, gets to go in Game 3.
But the big question is, who's the fourth pitcher, if there's going to be a fourth pitcher? I mean, you've got Zito and you got Baumgartner.
Maybe Larry will tell you that. I mean, you have the Giants kind of entering an almost unprecedented situation where Barry Zito is their highest paid player, and he's the veteran. He's got the playoff experience. But he really did not get the job done when they tried to pitch him in the clincher on Saturday, walking two guys in with the bases loaded. And it looked like he may have just walked himself right out of a spot on the 25-man roster.
There's a lot of talk about the fact that Buster Posey and Jason Hayward are both candidates for Rookie of the Year. Of course, the voting has already taken place, but it adds to the drama of this playoff, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. And they played against each other in high school. I mean, they're both come out of Georgia, so I think it adds, a lot of interest, particularly, in the Braves games in Georgia. So I'm going to piggyback on one other thing that Ann said, which was, and you talk about the pitching rotation, but in the early part of this season or in the off season, you had a lot of fans, I think, so conditioned to the team from the Bonds era who thought, oh, the Giants need a big bat. We don't have anybody in the middle of the order who scares anybody. We need to trade Jonathan Sanchez. We need to trade Baumgartner. We need to get, a Prince Fielder or a Adrian Gonzalez. And I think it is a real testament to the organization. And Sabian had this vision and he had confidence in these young pitchers and he kept them. And it's sort of sometimes the best trade is the one that you don't make. And it's great that they probably have the deepest five-man rotation in baseball.
It's not only the young pitchers. It's ironic when you think about it. I'm certainly not the first to say this, but the heart of the hitting attack are three guys who no one really wanted, Huff and Torres and Burrell.
Well, Posey, too, is the heart of the hitting attack. Everyone did want him.
That goes without saying. I mean, Posey is a phenomenon. I was reading somebody comparing Posey to Ted Williams today. I mean, it's gotten to that level.
Well,
that may be a little hyperbolic.
In July, he hit over 400, and he's got everyone, in love with him.
But what about – let's get both of you, and then we'll talk to Larry about the roster. But what about Lincecum? I mean, in August, he was having real problems. He's come back in September. He's going to be the first pitcher. What can we say or what do we really know, especially given the August record, which was really pretty bad?
Well, August, he was awful. And I think that his legend has only grown because he – at the end of August, people were saying, if they can get anything out of him in September, that would be a bonus. We've just kind of got to turn the page on Tim Lincecum and start thinking about next year and that he is what he is right now. But he was fantastic in September. He really dug deep. He really gutted it out. And that's something that we didn't know he had in him. And so he's enhanced his legend.
He showed a lot of characters.
It showed a lot of character. Yeah. It showed a lot of willingness to take instruction and advice, a lot of flexibility in being able to change up the way he had been doing things. And like I said, a lot of guts, I think. I mean, he just really, unlike a guy we already mentioned, Barry Zito, he just gutted it out. He was really, really tough in September. And I mean, yes, Buster Posey could run for mayor, but Tim Lincecum could, be his vice mayor. I mean, those guys can do anything in this town.
I'm going to open the phone lines, and those of you in this town or Giants fans or anybody listening on satellite throughout the United States, you may want to weigh in here. We're talking about the playoffs, and there's a lot of excitement, obviously, here in San Francisco. We welcome your calls if you have questions or comments or reactions to what is being called torture. I think that's Dwayne Kuiper who gets credit for that in terms of this Giants team, and a lot of excitement, to put it mildly. We welcome your phone calls. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can call us now, and please feel free to do that. Again, toll-free, wherever you're listening or however, 866-733-6786. If you'd like to comment on the Giants season or what is looking up ahead in the division title and the series coming up, please feel free to join us. And you can also send us an email, forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And Larry Bear, I got to go back to you about the roster.
Well, Michael, we have until 10 a.m. tomorrow to set the roster, and lots of discussions, lots of meetings, and it won't be revealed, and it may not even be decided until tomorrow morning.
Is torture an operative word on the roster as well?
That's torture, but it's a good torture because really what it boils down to, more than 25 guys have played a huge role in this team. As you know, in September, you can have up to 40 players on your roster. So with people that have been on the disabled list through the year, and then the 40-man expansion for the month of September, it makes a tough decision. It's putting, you know, 15 pounds in a 5-pound box, because we'd love to include everybody, and it's going to be a difficult decision, and it's going to be a decision that will go down to the wire, and I don't think we'll be announcing anything until tomorrow.
Well, you can put this on the record. I'm looking at some emails that were just brought into me, and you've got already suggestions from listeners. Here's Paul, who writes, in talking about whether Zito will be on the roster, the comment has been made that he could do long relief. That seems even a worse option than him starting. If he has to come in for long relief, it means things have already gone south. Then if Zito bombs, it's good night, Irene. You're getting those kind of suggestions, obviously, all over the place, aren't you?
Sure, but that's what the reality is. In that scenario, there are other pitchers that are trained to go hard, max effort, as they say, for one inning or parts of an inning or two innings. And if you got in that scenario, Barry and other starters who have started all year, their arm is conditioned to go multiple innings, many innings, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 innings. By the way, to Ann's point, I'm going to choose my words better in the future, and I'm going to use the word camaraderie to talk about the good natured clubhouse we have.
How about Ann's other point, which is that the Giants have turned a page here, that this is another chapter, that the Bonds era and some of the dreadful and difficult things that went through for fans as well as for you and management is behind us.
Well, whenever you have a superstar, whether it's Barry Bonds, and we're not going to sit here criticizing Barry Bonds, I'm not going to, as a player. Whenever you have a superstar, there's going to be an expiration date. Whether it's Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, et cetera, there's going to be an expiration date, and you're going to have to move on. And Barry's last year was 2007. We were able to get to 88 wins in 2009, and then 92 wins this year. So we were able, to the credit of all the baseball side people, we were able to get the thing moved into a different mode in a short period of time. We had a down year in 08, but last year we just missed the playoffs, 88 wins. This year we're in at 92. So yes, it was a transition, and we were able to get it done fairly quickly, I think.
And then, Killian, here's a listener named George who says, big question for Ann, what about Zito? What do you think they should do? I say put him in the bullpen. No starts for him. Sorry, but I think the team doesn't rally behind him. They get nervous when he's out there. I know I do, and so do several million Giants fans around the Bay. I'll take my answer over the radio. Thanks, George.
Well, I would actually keep Zito on the 25-man roster if you can find a way to. No, I would not ever give him the ball at the start of a game, but if you're going to start a rookie in Madison Bumgarner, that's a pretty big risk. This is a young staff without any playoff experience on it except for Zito. And yeah, the other emailer had a good point. If something blows up, then it's goodnight, Irene, if you put Zito in, but you're going to have to put someone else in. You can't leave a kid like a rookie out there getting hammered. So you could potentially need an inning eater. The other thing about Zito, he is everybody's whipping boy. Everybody wants to jump on the We Hate Barry bandwagon. But he has been a really integral part of the development of this pitching staff. And, you know, you don't see that on the field, but you see it in the clubhouse. He is a professional. Maybe people don't like the way he pitches, but the way he handles himself, whenever he has a bad outing, he talks to the media. He is a veteran presence. He's a mellow guy. He takes those guys, you know, they go out to eat with him. I mean, he's not some sort of a clubhouse cancer. He's actually a pretty instrumental guy.
Would you say he provides good chemistry?
No, I'm just kidding. and so I think that it's not like the other guys can't look at him. Oh, my God, there's the guy who might lose the game for us. Quite the opposite. I think that he's very much a part of this team. And so I think they're – and knowing Bruce Bochy and kind of the way he handles his team and is very much a player's manager, I can see him keeping Zito on and letting him be clear what his role is going to be. And then again, you know, if they get through this series, they get to pick a whole different 25-man roster in the next series. So,
and just Dan Foss.
To piggyback on that, I mean, Zito has not been awful. I mean, he and I think Bochy had a quick hook on him on Saturday, you know, which they had to do to try to keep the Giants in the game. But, you know, and since he's been with the Giants, they've scored two runs or less in 60% of his starts. So the win-loss record is not really reflective of what kind of pitcher he's been. And he's had some really good games this year for the Giants.
He's actually had a pretty good year. His last two starts were horrible, and that's part of the problem.
Let's bring in more of our callers. And Steven, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. I think you guys kind of covered what I wanted to talk about, but I thought one thing might be a more appropriate name for Giants baseball is the Cardiac Kids. I love them. I'm a longtime fan. I could not disagree more with Ann's perception of Barry Zito. I don't think he should be on the 25-man roster at all.
Glad you got your opinion on the air. We'll go to more of our callers and find out what else is on your minds. Well, somebody else on Barry Zito. Nick, that's you. Good morning.
Morning. I wanted to just comment on, like, that the Giants had not scored many runs at all when Barry Zito was pitching, like you'd said before. You know, I think they really just left him hanging, not being able to keep up with the hitting. And, you know, we are a defensive team, but, you know, when Barry Zito was in, like you said, he only had, you know, what, like maybe one run scored a game on average? Or I think they just really left him hanging. I think he's a great pitcher, and we should have him in as our fourth pitcher for the playoffs for sure.
Okay. Again, another fan opinion. And you're making a sort of facial gesture there.
No, I just think it's funny that, it's one of those things that's great about sports is if everyone's feeling good about this team, but there is this issue out there. So that gets everyone involved. Everyone has an opinion about Barry Zito.
That's one of the great things about talk radio is that you can get all those opinions on and get the whole range of them.
Much like the Zito question, you know, Aaron Rowand was another one. He's the highest paid position player on the team. And I mean, I was at the game on Friday night, and you know, when you see Aaron Rowand coming in to pinch hit, you think, what are they doing, and what is this guy doing here? And everybody's starting to boo as the poor guy walks to the plate, and then he hits a home run, and of course we all love him. So
we'll get another caller on before we go to a break. Howard, that's you. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. A longtime fan. I got to say first, Larry, I was at the ballpark over the weekend, and Sunday was just magical. I think we found the magic inside.
Well, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure. My point is, I guess, about Zito, but more generally, experience versus talent. And I think my perspective is talent and composure wins out over experience. You look at Lincecum, you look at the young outfielders, you look at Bumgarner, and I think Michael and Ann, to your point, talent should prevail in the playoff roster.
Okay, I'm glad you got that in here before we go to the break. We'll be back for more about the Giants at about a quarter of. We'll talk to Senator Barbara Boxer. If you have something you'd like to say about the Giants and the series coming up, feel free to join us. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or send an email to forum@kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and Giants fans, San Francisco Giants fans, are eagerly awaiting. In fact, that's an understatement. There's stomach lining involved in this, as we heard from Larry Bear, awaiting the opening game of the playoffs against the Atlanta Braves on Thursday. The Giants, by some called the Cardiac Kids, have dragged their fans through a pretty torturous run to win the National League West title. We're talking baseball this hour with Larry Bear, who is President and Chief Operating Officer of the Giants, and with Dan Faust, who's here with us in studio, author and freelance writer. His new book is Giants Past and Present. And Ann Killian, contributing writer for Sports Illustrated and Comcast Sports Net Bay Area. Just a couple of emails here. Larry, you'll love this. This comes... You didn't know there was a down under connection to the Giants, but Claire writes to us, I'm an Australian, moved here 5 years ago, and over the years have become a true Giants fan. Each time I have family members visiting from Australia, one of the first San Francisco things we do with them is take them to the ballpark and teach them all about the game. That has resulted in the Giants having some diehard Australian fans. Watching the Giants this year has been beyond exciting for all of us. Posey, Huff, Torres, Kane, all of them have been playing with absolute heart this year, and I think that really sets them apart. After every game, I receive phone calls and text messages from Australia with reviews of the game, certain players, etc. This year, it's not just that we are invested in the Giants winning, but we really want this team to win. It has been an absolute joy for us to watch this team grow, and in the event we make the World Series, we have a few Aussies ready to book their tickets straight over here. Our mutual love for the Giants has me connected to my family back home, and this year particularly, we feel proud to be Giants fans. San Francisco baseball is not only enjoyed here, but enjoyed from the other side of the world.
That's really great. You know, it's interesting, just Michael, as a quick aside, baseball in Australia is actually growing. It's coming from a small base, but I just heard the other day that Major League Baseball is talking about bringing a couple of teams to Australia to play preseason in a couple of years down the road.
Nothing competes with Japan, though, still, does it, in terms of other countries' fanaticism about baseball?
No. The Far East is obviously the Far East and Latin America are really the other two hotbeds. We're in discussions right now, in fact, of opening the season in Taiwan next year. So, globalizing the sport is a priority, I think, for all of us in the industry.
Listener has a question for you, Larry. Scott from Palo Alto wants to know, did Larry Bear hire Marty to do the pre- and post-game shows on KNBR Radio? He's a poet and a great host. A little plug-in here for a competing radio station is okay.
Well, we love Marty. I mean, the one thing, and I think Ann and Dan have followed this as well, Marty has been a long-time follower of baseball. He came to us in the off-season and said he'd like to hook up with the Giants. And what's happened is, thanks to the other station, KNBR, and to Marty's unbelievable passion for the sport, Marty, on weekends, you know, game ends at 4. I think his assignment is to be on for an hour or so after the game. And he's so into it, and the KNBR has opened up the airwaves to him. He will go some nights all the way to midnight. You can believe that. A six or seven hour post-game show, and full of passion. And I think a little bit like you, Michael, he's interested in getting conversation. He is not a guy that, you know, slam the phone on listeners or whatever. He listens and speaks intelligently about the game.
Well, just lest there be any misunderstanding, this is KQED Radio that you're listening to. If you hear all this baseball talk, lest you be confused. Let me go to South City. Ken, welcome. You're on with us. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, Michael. I just wanted to make some comments and observations. I think I grew up in Chicago in the 1950s with the Go-Go White Sox, so I understand torture baseball. I think Dwayne Kuiper nailed it with that, but it's really been exciting. I would not set foot in that park while Barry Bonds was on the team, but I've become a fan, and I'll be looking for season tickets. And I want to hand Lou Saban all the credit in the world for not making that move and getting rid of those pitchers, and for the pickups that he made. It's really come together, and they've been just great to watch. And I think the Giants have turned the corner, and I understand the reluctance to comment on Bonds with management, but I think that era is gone and good riddance. And I also just want to say, keep Zito on the roster. Thank you much. Bye.
Okay, thank you for that call, and we'll go right to Mountain View, and Debbie joins us. Good morning.
Hi. I started going to Giants games back in 1963 with my dad, and I've followed off and on the teams. And this year I started watching with my dad, who's 93, and it was the team that got me to stay with these guys this year. I watch them in the dugout. They console each other. They're happy. It seems like a bunch of guys that you really like that you don't want to lose. And my dad and I, who's 93, as I said, went to the game last Thursday and rooted them on. So it's kind of a family circle here that we've got a team that we're really, it's the guys. We really like the guys.
Well said, and we thank you for that. In fact, dovetailing with that, here's Paul from up in Inverness who writes, getting these historical emails, I call them, when you're talking about baseball franchises. Is I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, of having grown up in New Jersey in the 50s. My first memories of baseball go back to 51 when the Yankees ended the Giants' miracle run. This time around, however, I'm rooting for the Giants all the way. I'd like nothing better than to see the Giants polish off the Yankees in the series and get revenge for 1951 and 1962. Go Giants.
Well,
and Killian.
The Giants, it's been 55 years since they've been in a World Series. And since the last time they were in the playoffs, both the White Sox and the Red Sox have won World Series. So now they're third on the futility list. So it's been a long, long time. My brother,
longer for my home team, Cleveland Indians. So.
Yes, they're right ahead. Well, of course, the Cubs are the worst, and then the Indians, and then the Giants.
But, you know, the Cubs and the Indians, at least at some point in their history, won world championships in their cities, where the Giants still have not
the
done
San
that.
Francisco Giants San Francisco have Giants. Not.
I think I may have told this story before, but Larry Stone, the sports writer, has a book of sports trivia, and he claims that across from Wrigley Field, there's a Jewish cemetery, and there's a headstone, and there's Yiddish on the headstone, and it translates to "the Cubs stink." This guy wanted it on his grave. I mean, he took it to the grave, literally. Michael from Sausalito, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thank you.
I had a question for Larry Bear. He alluded to the fact that there were a lot of new faces on the team during the season. Maybe he could elaborate on how that process came about. You know, did they just happen to find a player here, player there, or did they deliberately go about, seeking to fill certain positions or types of players?
It's a good question. I think conventional wisdom, it's not always this way, but conventional wisdom, Michael, is that it takes about 50 games into the season for the general manager to analyze what the team has and what the team doesn't have and what the needs are. Now, in our case, Mark DeRosa was hurt, started the season playing for us, and was clearly not going to be able to get through the season, had to have an operation. So we knew we needed help in at least one outfield spot. We then analyzed all the other folks. We analyzed some of the younger players. Were they ready to play? And were they ready to contribute toward a pennant race? And then made those judgments. And those judgments are what led to Pat Burrell coming on the team, what led to Buster Posey being brought up from AAA, what led to trades in the at the break for two relief pitchers, Javier Lopez and Ramon Ramirez. And so with those sorts of moves became critical moves in our world. Also Jose Guillen, of course. So those were critical moves, but it was really after analyzing what we had. Coming out of spring training can be somewhat deceptive, as I think Ann and Dan know, because it doesn't always reveal what you have. And so it was as we went through it, and certainly the DeRosa injury, clearly we wanted to add to our outfield strength.
Looking at some of your emails, I just want to read one from a listener named Evan. It says, I was in high school during the Giants' last run at the playoffs and, along with friends, spent more than a week wallowing and sulking in depression after they lost in 2002. That was a fun team, and it was great watching Barry Bonds dominate pitchers. But this team is just so much more likable. And even more important, they show it. Between Pablo Sandoval running down the left field sideline, arms waving after Sunday's victory, to Brian Wilson's supercharged energy and supercharged beard, it's obvious that these Giants are having a great time, and they actually care about their fans having a great time, too. That hasn't always been the case, but it sure is this year. Let me go to another caller here, and that's Paul. Good morning.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Lifelong Giants fan, but I also lived in the Boston area in the 70s, and I married into a family of Red Sox fans. And not to be too dark about it, but I am a Giants fan, my comment, which I pose as a question, is does the devotion of a long-suffering fan base actually become like a double-edged sword and put a little pressure on the team? Because I remember what it was like in New England, and they had to wait 86 years. I'm 57. I don't have that long to go.
And Killian. Yeah.
I don't think you can compare Giants fans to Red Sox fans or Cubs fans in terms of their suffering and their kind of negative pessimism. Usually when
you haven't talked to my nephew. My nephew.
Usually when Giants fans are bummed out, they just don't show up. So, and there is some talk right now about that there's all these bandwagon fans. But I can attest that pretty much everyone I knew, I grew up here. My brother was on my dad's shoulders when the Giants came to town in the ticker tape parade. And most of the people I grew up with are Giants fans. And while sometimes they go dormant and they go into hiding, I think that there's a pretty steady, large fan base here. And I don't know that all these new players are affected by it one way or the other.
It's not something that's talked about widely here. I mean, it's the way that the Cubs and the Red Sox sort of live it, and it's, you know, I mean, I bought a shirt at Wrigley Field that says World Champs 1908. I mean, they embrace it, whereas here, I almost expect to hear the Giants say, it's not really torture, it's just enhanced interrogation. I mean, it's, you know, I think that, you know, the Giants, you go to that ballpark and there's all the flags up there from the past, you know, from the world champs in New York and from the pennant, you know, three pennant winners and many division champs here in San Francisco. And it's the team of Willie Mays. And they do a great job of bringing that history up and all these Hall of Famers. And so it sort of tends to get a little bit overlooked that actually they never have gone all the way. They haven't brought those rings home.
Looking at some more emails, Larry from Sonoma says, fans need to relax about Barry Zito. If the Giants hitters had given him more than one run against the Padres, he might have won that ballgame, and we would all have forgotten about the walks in the first inning. Fans are fickle and don't remember his contributions all season long. He belongs on the roster, no question. And Barry writes on our web, Barry Zito and Brian Wilson are best friends. Don't mess up the chemistry. Keep Barry on the roster.
Yeah.
There's chemistry again, Ann.
There is chemistry, and it's the good kind, not the better
that?
Living through.
Let me read one more email from Sonoma. Francis writes, what a fun season. I started watching baseball in 2004. The pitching staff is so good that I enjoy watching the pitching as much as the hitting. Posey is a treat to watch because of his composure and skill. He seems more mature than anyone else on the team. Panda is like a kid with his bubblegum and emoting. Huff, Burrell, and Torres are fun to watch both in the field and when they're up to hit. Boshi is always so stone-faced that his smile on Sunday was great to see, as well as his participation running around the field, shaking hands with fans. I was impressed to learn that it was his idea. Whatever happens in the playoffs, the Giants made it, and we should be proud. Good note to end on, because we're going to talk to Senator Barbara Boxer. Thank you, Larry Bear. Thank you, Dan Foss. Thank you, Ann Killian.
Thank you for having me.
And go Giants.
Thank you.
Go Giants.
Thank you, Michael.